I woke up in a dark basement. There was a swinging lamp above me, and I had a throbbing headache. Suddenly, I heard a voice behind me. "So, how do you want us to take you back to your dad? In the trunk of a car? Or in a box?" Hi, Milton here. If you're not subscribed yet, remember to subscribe. Give this video a thumbs up and hit that notification bell icon to show your support for me. Natalie ruffled my hair and planted an ironic kiss on my head. "Relax, loser. I'm just kidding. My dad's on the phone with your dad right now, and they're discussing terms. Last thing I heard, it looks like we're gonna get a pretty good price for you. I knew you'd come in handy at some point." I wiggled in my chair and tried to break free, but the rope only dug into my wrists and my chest. "Don't even try it, stupid!" From a corner in the room, Penny appeared, and then she whacked the side of my head, sending my headache throbbing even more wildly. "I personally tied those ropes. You're not getting out until I want you to." Just then, we heard a commotion break out in the next room. There were men shouting, and I heard my adoptive dad yell, "What are you doing here?" And then, the door of the room they were keeping me in got kicked in. It was Sophia, and behind her were a number of ladies in suits. Sophia untied me while the ladies in black held down Natalie and Penny. She walked me out of there, and I saw my family and James all tied up. I could have just ignored them and let that be my punishment enough, like Sophia suggested. But no, I had enough of them. My whole life, they did nothing but try to take advantage of me. And this was the last straw that broke my back. As soon as we got home, I informed the police of where they were and what they did to me. With Sophia's help, the cops sprang into action. And no sooner had my family and James thought up of a plan to become instant billionaires, did they end up all together in jail. I got my things from the old house and made my way to the apartment that Sophia and I were gonna share. And with much fanfare and undue stress, my college reboot began. Hey, not many people start their college careers with a kidnapping, but I'm kinda used to my life being eventful, at the least. The night before my first day back at school, I couldn't sleep. I wish I could say it was out of excitement, but I was completely dreading it. School brought back some horrible memories with it. Sure, there were awesome times too, but the bad outweighed the good. The moment I stepped into campus, my brain reeled. I was having flashbacks. I saw myself walking into my first day of high school. Braces, oversized charity shop shirt, glasses that were too big for my head, and a bag filled to the brim with secondhand books. I was a nerd and poor. Prime target for any aspiring bully. Those vultures picked on me like the fresh meat that I was. From my first day to the day of graduation, my bullies made sure to remind me that I was the lowest on the totem pole. They called me names, they stole my lunch, they dunked my head in mud. They even forced me to fight them even though I really, really didn't want to. And when we got found out, I got detention right alongside them. And of course they used that time in detention wisely by torturing me even more. There was a boy I was really afraid of. His name was Jeff, and he hovered over me like a hungry hawk. Even if I caught a glimpse of him from far away, I would reverse directions and run. Jeff was my boogeyman. He made up all sorts of stories about me. He beat me up and once locked me in a garbage bin. Those large ones at the back of the school. I had to spend an entire night in there in a pile of discarded fruit and unfinished servings of Sloppy Joes. The most disturbing things he did was when he convinced everyone I'd died from some horrible disease. He took my phone and posted the news on all my social media, and everyone believed it. My family just laughed and didn't do anything. They even played along. And the worst part was, the following Monday when I showed up to school and people discovered that it was all a hoax, some people still believed I had a disease and wouldn't even come near me. "But this isn't high school, Milton," I told myself. "There's nothing to fear." Sophia was by my side, and surely, college was way different than high school. Think of the good things. My inner monologue was right, I thought. After all, it wasn't all bad. Even though some people were horrible to me, there were times when I actually had some great memories. Like that time I turned from ultra nerd to womanizer overnight. My braces came off, I got contacts, and I finally got some money to buy my own clothes. And just like that, I walked into school a new man. Everyone stared, especially the girls. I had no idea why at the time, but it made me feel good. That first day, three girls approached me while I was having lunch. Just out of nowhere, those girls asked me if I wanted to go to the prom with them. The only time anyone's ever approached me at lunch before that was when they wanted to ask me to leave or when they were making fun of me. Girls were all over me after that. Kayla, who I've had a crush on for as long as I can remember at the time, suddenly talked to me. And it wasn't just her. Every girl who I thought was beyond my reach was suddenly into me. And then there was Lyra. I remember her like that night was just yesterday. I'd been really great friends with her since our first day, but she's always had her eyes on some other guy. That night, she danced with me in her beautiful dress, and me in my rented tux. Lyra wanted me to dance with her and kiss her to make her crush jealous. Only, it didn't work. What did happen was that she fell in love with me after that kiss, and she was kind of my first girlfriend. Only, we didn't know if we were really a couple at the time. And before we could even graduate, Lyra had to move away. I was in my memories when suddenly I was jolted back to the college campus I was walking in with Sophia. Someone had screamed. Maybe it was PTSD from all the stuff that's happened to me, but I instinctively ducked. And Sophia giggled. It was nothing bad, some girls in the distance were yelling as they ran toward us.
Oh my god! It's Milton! Milton! Sign my books!
Milton! Meet my parents!
A crowd of gushing girls surrounded us, and they all wanted a picture with me. Once again, I was confused. I was just this random nerd who tried to run for mayor, and now all these college girls were treating me like a celebrity. Turned out, college was not much different from high school, and I knew that because far away, leaning in one of the trees was a guy I thought I'd never see again in my life. It was Jeff, and he was looking at me intently, as if he was some leopard sizing up his prey. I heard Jeff got held back quite a few times, and that's why he was still in college. The crew he hangs around him are younger than him, and so he naturally became their leader. One day, he tried to bully me again like he did many years ago. Only this time, the tables had turned.
You're looking like a big shot now, eh, Milton?
Oh. Hey, Jeff. I see you haven't changed one bit. That seemed to annoy him, and so he picked me up by the collar and started speaking so close to my face, I could smell what he had for breakfast.
I see you've gotten yourself a backbone, too.
But before he could go any further, Sophia stood from the chair beside me and kicked him in the shins. He immediately dropped me. Several of my bodyguards, who were disguised as students, appeared out of nowhere and pinned down Jeff's crew. And from then on, Jeff never bothered me again. In fact, he begged to work for me. I accepted, but I put them to work by volunteering them to be cleaners for the school. They picked up trash, scraped off gum from under the tables, and cleaned up graffiti on walls. At least now, Jeff's influence can be used to do good. In one of my classes, there was a girl who I started having a crush on. Her name was Leah, and she was so hot. She made me confused about my feelings for Sophia. I knew she was basically family, and I tried to stop daydreaming about her too much, so instead, I chose to pursue Leah. She was hot and cold, though. One day, she'd be all over me. The next, she'd give me the cold shoulder, and the girls that always buzzed around me weren't helping either. There was always someone trying to snap a pic with me or get my autograph, and Leah was fiercely jealous. But they're not doing any harm. They just want a picture.
Still, I don't like it. You're just gonna have to learn to tell them no. I have an idea. Why don't you come over tonight? My roommate's making ramen, and our dorm manager's out of town. You know, it might be fun.
She'd never invited me over, and it was a known fact that her roommate had a crush on me too. What was she suggesting? it was okay if the other girls who were into me are her friends? I went to her dorm that night really nervous, and when Leah and her roommate opened the door wearing short shorts and oversized shirts, I was done for. What I didn't know was that they had the whole place bugged, and every move I made was being taped. They made me cuddle with them on the couch as we ate ramen and watched anime. I got really uncomfortable, but every time I tried to leave, they'd pull me down. The next morning, Sophia woke me up with a sharp slap. It was all over the news. Pictures and videos of me all cuddled up with girls on a couch. "Mayoral hopeful serial womanizer," the headline said. It was a scandal. But why? Who could have done this?